opinions on end time prophecy. And I don't spend a, haven't spent a lot of time in end time prophecy. I know this, he's coming back.
Amen.
Amen. I know that. I know he's going to rule and reign from David's throne in Jerusalem, literally and bodily. We are going to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years.
Amen.
And but there's some differing of opinions between right now and that time. And there's probably, I think I would say there's 4 different viewpoints of end times. One would be what would be a premillennial, which is us. We believe in a premillennial return of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are some that are postmillennial. They believe that Jesus, for some reason, it comes after. He will come towards the end. There are some that are all millennial. They don't believe in any millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there are those that are called, yeah, they believe it's, they spiritualize it all. And then there are those that are what are called preterists. And they believe that everything in Matthew 24 was fulfilled at the destruction of the temple. And at that very moment, at the destruction of the temple in AD 70, they believe that Jesus came back spiritually and he is ruling and reigning in his kingdom spiritually right now. And you've heard me say this recently, right?
Yep.
He's doing a bad job.
Yep.
If this is God's kingdom, he's not doing so hot. And but we know it's coming. And so there are several views of end time events. And it always has been in people's interest, right? The end times, people wonder about it. We'd love to know what comes tomorrow. Some of it's because we are finite beings, and we just like to know what happens tomorrow, right, before it comes. Especially if you like to trade stocks, right? It'd be really nice to know what stocks are going to go up before they go up. And unless you're in Congress, yeah, Pelosi, it's amazing what some of those people come out with all of these stock investments after they make decisions within the Congress, and they know it's going to affect a company, and they know it's just absolutely illegal and wicked. But they all get away with it. But anyway, unless you're Congress, right, it'd be nice to know the future. And the end times, I mean, hey, the whole subject of the end times it sells a lot of books, right? It has made a lot of movies, right? There's a whole series called The Left Behind, and pretty sold a lot of stuff. And okay, that's a viewpoint from a premillennial rapture of the saints and of the tribulation period and all of that. But even before that, I don't know how many remember these going back. I'm starting to date myself, but there are those that Brother Micah, they were on Reel to Reel.
Right.
Remember those? The funnest thing was when they'd play them backwards and we'd say, turn it on, and we could watch the whole thing go when they were rewinding the reel and you could watch the whole movie backwards. We loved that. It was so fun. But there was these other ones. Remember these called A Distant Thunder? Anybody ever see that? Or A Thief in the Night? You remember The Thief in the Night? And what about A Flame in the Wind? Alan, did they ever have you watch all? These were back, you know, they're in the 70s, early 80s, late 70s, early 80s. And they were all about the end times. And they were the popular films in churches at the time. And people were really excited about those. People began to look at Nixon and thought, yep, we're at the end. I mean, and now we're at Biden. Yep, we're at the end. I mean, it's just, it has gone on since Paul told those churches in Thessalonica that we're in the end times. We're at the end, and we are still in the end times. Let me help you with this before we dive into chapter 24. What is it that marks the end times? What defining thing is there that says you can point to and say, oh, okay, this happened. We're in the end times. Well, let me say this. The end times, though it is marked by time, it is not necessarily marked by time. What makes the end times, is that anything after the Messiah is the end times. Why? Because there's not another one coming. So what Jesus has come, right? Amen. He's come. He is the Messiah. And from the time of the Lord Jesus Christ until the time that he comes back, That time period makes up the end times. The Bible also calls it the time of the Gentiles. And we know the time of the Gentiles and the working of the church, when that is fulfilled, God will pull the saints out and he'll go back again to dealing with Israel. But that's not for tonight. We're not going to look at that tonight. But people are definitely interested in the end times. And people have different reasons for wanting to know about the end times, right? Some of it is because it's the blessed hope. Some just want to see that glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? We want to see him. We want to see him come in the clouds, and we want to go up to meet him and forever be with him, right? And as Paul said, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We're looking forward that we might be that time, that generation, those people that don't go down with the undertaker, but we go up with the upper taker, right? And people are looking forward to that. And some look forward to that, of course. Some, I believe, look forward to the catching away of the saints, the rapture of the saints. Some look forward to that because some are just frankly afraid of dying. The process of dying. And so they hope with all they have. I hope this is the time. I don't have to go through that death process. I can just go up and immediately be changed, right? I believe, I've noticed this in some people's, my own personal thing. Okay, so don't hold me to this. Don't quote me on it. Don't go out there and write a book on it or anything like that, please. But it's my opinion, there are those that are away from the Lord and they struggle with their eternal security. Those that are, they want the rapture so badly. Because then they'll know. It's just like, it's a validation. Oh, I guess I was. Here's the problem with that. That's really faulty. And I've never heard anybody say it. I've just watched the action of some people's lives and this longing for the rapture. And you look at their life and you go, maybe that's why. Because they're away from the Lord. And they struggle with their where they are with Christ, right? And they feel insecure in that. And so they want the rapture. Problem is, according to 2 Thessalonians, I believe it's around chapter 2 or so, if you don't come at the preaching of the gospel and the rapture comes and you are taken away and you are left, the Bible says that God is going to give you over to bring a strong, believe over to strong delusion. You're going to believe a lie. Yeah, I reject the fact that if you heard the gospel and rejected it before the catching away of the saints, you are not going to have an opportunity to be saved, right? Well, you say, well, there's tribulation saints. Absolutely. There are going to be those who have never heard the gospel. There are going to be those that, that are going to come in. Maybe they're 12, 13 years old when the rapture comes in. And they've never heard the gospel, and they're going to hear it. You know, we know that the witnesses are going to preach. We know that there are going to be those that are going to get saved. But listen, God is not going to let you come in by sight when everybody else came by faith.
Right.
Yeah. And so don't have that viewpoint. It's very faulty. Some people have that fear of dying and death and all of those processes. But here's another one I thought of is this. Some people want the catching away of the saints. They want to go up with the upper taker. Because they're in Hawking, they're into Hawk up to their eyeballs, and they just want out. Right? They're looking and they're going, oh, this is rough. I mean, it's not just that. I mean, some people are just tired of life, and some people are in a trial, and they're in a tribulation. They're in some deep waters, they're in some valleys that God is bringing through, and they just want out. Well, that's not really a good reason for the blessed hope, just to get out of life's problems, right? Must I be carried through the skies in flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? Hey, why should I be always looking for the perfect bed of ease and comfort in life? And some people, if life doesn't go exactly how they want it, they're just longing for Jesus to come. Yeah? Well, why don't you occupy till he comes, like he said? Well, you know, you can live in victory before he comes back. Absolutely. And so anyway, the people have all sorts of different reasons for wanting to know about end time prophecy. Now, God wants us to know some things or else he wouldn't have put them down, right?
Right.
He definitely wants us to know some things, but they are not completely for the reason that we believe that some of the reasons are, right? Or that some people believe. There's some people that have other reasons why they think God wants us to know, but tonight I want you to kind of plow through this in chapter 24, and hopefully in time we'll come to the conclusion here and we'll see we'll see why God has outlined this for us to know some things about the end. Now, we saw last week in verses 1 through 1 and 2 that there is the disciples came out and they told the Lord Jesus, look at the temple and look at the buildings. And obviously they were enamored with him. And Jesus said, you see these things? There's not going to be one stone left upon another. Jesus said, the temple is coming down. It is going to be destroyed. And so don't get so excited about the things of this world. Don't get so enamored with the things of the world. Don't get so enamored with some of the religion of this world. And this is what they were taken by, was the religion of this world. Don't get so excited about those things. Right? We saw last week, when the buildings fall, when the things fall apart, when the things burn up, when they go into dust, Jesus is the one who's still standing, and we just need to make sure our relationship with Jesus is paramount and number one. Amen. Because this world is going to pass away. And so we saw that last week. And so he told them about this, and of course, many have pointed to the destruction of the temple in AD 70, which it really was. It did come down, absolutely. It's not there now. Titus came in and just destroyed everything, and we saw that. And so after he tells them this here in verse 3, the Bible says, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, which would be on the other side, if you're looking at the temple, or if you're at the temple looking east, you'd be looking at the Mount of Olives, okay? And so, obviously, they left the temple. They went down over that little Kidron Valley there. They came back up into the Mount of Olives, and they found somewhere to sit down. And Jesus sat down, and they began to ask Jesus some questions. The backdrop, they're looking at the temple. They're looking at Jerusalem, right? This is on their mind. What is going to happen here? And look what they say. They sat upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came unto him privately. It's just Jesus and his disciples. They want some inside information, right? They want some insider trading going on here, right? They want some inside information. And they said, tell us, what shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? So if you'll notice here, we start out in verse 3 with two questions. Two questions. I believe the second question is some I've heard in the past break it up into three, but I think the last question is really just one whole question, and which is this, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? I think that's one question, and we'll see in the chapter how it'll lay out that way. But there's two questions here. And he did foretell the destruction of the temple. Note this, he didn't say when. It was a time point in the future. And with these two questions, the disciples wanted to know, look at, when will these things be? What was the what is that referring to? These things. What were they asking about? Well, they're asking about the destruction of the temple. When shall these things be? When will be the destruction of the temple? If you look at that there, that's what that's referring to. And then the second, what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? So two questions. Now Jesus is going to answer their questions, and it is imperative. It is absolutely imperative that you understand this. He answers them in reverse order that they are asked. He does not answer them he does not answer the first question, first answer, second question, second answer. He answers the second one first, and the first one last. He reverses the order. Now, if you ask Brother Martin anything, and it is composed of two questions, he always answers the first one first, right? If I said, do you want to go to Brahms or do you want to go to pizza? And he'll go, yes, which means he wants to go to Brahms, okay? And so, yeah, see, I know how he rolls. And well, you're totally ungodly, because Jesus doesn't do this. And what he does here in this is he answers them in reverse. And Jesus answered and said unto them, now notice here, he's going to answer the question, and he starts out by saying, take heed that no man deceive you. Before he starts saying anything, he sets the groundwork, don't be deceived by man. Listen to what I say. Don't listen to what man says. Because there's many out there that are out to deceive you. So he says, let no man deceive you. Verse 5, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. The end is not yet. So you notice he gives here a list of signs of the end of the coming and the end of the world. He's answering the last question first. The end of the end, the sign of his coming and the end of the world. And he starts with a list of signs. Many are going to come in my name. They're going to say that I am Christ. They're going to deceive many. And you're going to see wars and rumors of war. But notice what he says. These are signs. But look what he says at the end. But the end is not yet. All right. So what do we have? We have signs that are not signs. We have signs that aren't signs. We're gonna move through here. I'm gonna plow through this, and we'll come back and look at it again, and I'll show you. Now, note three things now that Jesus tells them after he says the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be a famine. Well, I'm sorry. Go back up here. The three things that he tells them is to be not troubled. These things have to come to pass, and the end is not yet. Now, watch this, verse 7. For, what does that word for mean there? It means because. So verses 7 and on are really included in verses 5 and 6. He just took a little break and said, the end's not yet. The end's not yet. How do you know the end is not yet? Well, because, or for, same word, because nation's going to rise against nation. Kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. Yeah. Kind of sounds like the day we're living, doesn't it? A nation's going to rise against nation. Well, that's going on. Kingdom against kingdom. That's going on. The kingdom of this world has risen up against the kingdom of Christ. Well, that's going on. Famines. That's going on. There's famines out there. Yeah. Pestilences. They're predicting a big cicada outbreak here in the U.S. And they say it's going to be a pretty heavy one this year of pestilences. I don't like when they start coming in. They said they haven't had one this big since, I don't know, late 70s or something like that. And famines and pestilences. So they're going on today. Earthquakes in diverse places. Well, that's going on today. They had an earthquake in New Jersey, brother. Right? They're expecting another one. They're expecting more. There's earthquake swarms all around, you know, Korea and things like that going on. Of course, there the ones going on in Oklahoma, and those go on, and there's earthquakes. They're just They're just earthquakes going on all over the place. Maybe you might say it this way: earthquakes going on where they just don't normally go on.
Right.
Not that they can't, but more like, it's not the San Andreas fault line that's moving. It's this obscure fault line in New Jersey, right? What did Jesus say? This is a sign. Well, these are all going on now. Okay? He was telling them right then, this is what the signs are going to be in real time. Wait, all of these things were going on then as well. There were still wars. There are still rumors of war. There are still nations fighting and kingdoms fighting. There are still famines and pestilences and earthquakes, right? These things were going on. Yeah. Look what Jesus says here in verse 8. And these things are the beginning, all these things are the beginnings of sorrows. Watch, they are not signs of the end. They're signs of the beginning of sorrows. So once again, right, we have a list of signs that aren't signs. You're going, what on earth? Let me show you another list. Because he continues on. After the beginning of sorrows, look at this. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now hold on a minute. You see this? They're going to deliver you up to be afflicted. Well, that's going on across the world. Goes on in China, goes on in India, goes on, heaven forbid that you'd be a Christian in Iraq or Syria or Afghanistan or Pakistan. You're going to be delivered up. They're going to kill you. Well, that's been going on. Hated of all nations for not my name's sake. Well, that's going on. Hated of all nations for my name's sake. Yeah. Yeah. Many shall be offended, means cause to stumble. That's what that word offended means, to cause to stumble. Many shall be offended. They're going to betray one another. Well, that's going on. They're going to hate one another. That's going on. Many false prophets. Yeah. Do you know, I mean, you should do an internet search sometime. And see, I was shocked by this one time several years ago. I did an internet search of how many people claim to be Jesus Christ. I thought it was kind of funny. I thought, well, this will be, I was shocked. Yeah. There's some guy in South America that his Bible, that it just sits on a pulpit and oil pours out of it. He says, well, I'm Jesus Christ. Right? Well, why'd you need a Bible? I'd like to see the hose hooked up that's just pouring oil out of this thing, right? False prophets, iniquity shall abound, right? Hey, yeah. The love of many shall wax cold. We're watching it around us, aren't we? Yeah, we absolutely are. And he says here that the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all of the world. Look at verse 13. Look at verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And so remember what I told you here. He is answering the last question first. He is answering the question, when shall thy coming be, and what shall be the sign? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And so I want to show you some things here. There's some conclusions here that we take from this list that Jesus has given us, right? First of all, if these things are still going on today, we're not at the end. Oh yeah, we're moving closer. Obviously, we're 2,000 years closer.
Amen. Yeah.
These signs that are not really signs, He gave all these things. These signs are all—they're not signs. What were they? They were in that generation when Jesus gave them. All of this was going on, and they've been in every generation since then, and they're in our generation today. These things—they've been going on ever since. They were in the first generation. Jesus could have returned. They were in the preceding generations. Jesus could have the preceding generations. Jesus could have returned. They're in our generation, and we know what he could come at any moment. The return of Jesus Christ is imminent. He said, "I come quickly." He didn't say, "I come soon." Two different things. He is saying, when he comes, he's going to come in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. It's going to be quickly, but it's not necessarily going to be soon. It could be. It could be tonight, praise the Lord. And we are looking forward to that. But what he is saying here with all of these signs that are not signs, that they are signs in our day, but listen, none of these have to happen for Jesus to return. You say, then what on earth is he doing? Right. I'm going to get to it, don't worry. Trust me. No, don't trust me. I'm going to attempt to get there, okay? So here's these signs. Well, if you move on here, now Jesus is going to answer the first question. And the first question was concerning the destruction of the temple. It said, not one stone shall be left upon another. And notice what he says here. He is moved now, and he says, When therefore ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. So notice verse 15 here. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. So watch this. Who's standing in the holy place? Well, the abomination is. Who or what is the abomination? Go back to Daniel chapter 9, would you please? Let's look at this. Daniel chapter 9. If you work your way down and find verse 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Right? He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And we know in Daniel the week equals 7 years. And in the midst of the week is 3.5 years in. He's the Antichrist, this is who this is talking about, the Antichrist is going to come in 3.5 years in. He is going to confirm a covenant, right? He's going to confirm a covenant for many for 1 week. It's going to be a 7-year covenant of peace. But halfway through it, he's going to come in the midst of that, and he's going to cause the sacrifice and the oblations to cease, right? And the overspreading of the abomination, he shall make it desolate, even to the consummation, and the determined shall be poured upon the desolate. It seems like the Antichrist is going to come in, and he's going to put an end to all of what's going on in the temple. Which means there's got to be a temple. I think that's pretty obvious. There's got to be a temple. They're not sacrificing today, right? As the Jews got together last week for the Passover. Since AD 70, they haven't had blood for a Passover. Think about that. For almost 2,000 years, they are performing the Passover without the temple, without a priest, without the sacrifice of a spotless lamb, and without blood to put over the door. They look at it all spiritually now, and they have no physical blood to put over the door. What they didn't know is since AD 33, they've had blood available to them. They just didn't want that blood. Yeah. I get really nervous when people put all sorts of niceties about, oh, congratulations, God bless you, Jews on the Passover, and just thinking of our friends on the Passover. Friend, they have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to be saved. Right. I mean, could you imagine one of us going, well, congratulations on Ramadan, we're praying for you. We wouldn't do that. Right? It doesn't mean we hate them. Of course we don't hate them. You know, we love the world. We want to see them saved. But here's the fact of the matter is, obviously the Antichrist is going to come in, and the sacrifices are going to be up and running again, which means there's got to be a temple there. There's got to be priests installed again. They've got to be trying to do the sacrifices again. And it's still not going to work, right? Because the blood of bulls and goats can't take away sin. Amen? They had the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Antichrist is going to come in, and he's going to stop the sacrifices there. And he's going to bring an end to it. And he says, Jesus said here, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, let him whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Why? It's about to break apart. It's about to fall apart here in Jerusalem. Destruction's coming. You better get out. Yeah. And so he says, let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take things out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return to take his clothes again, back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, unto them which give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, because they're still observing the Sabbath, even today. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor shall ever be. Now hold on a minute. Here is something that gives us a time stamp here. People say, well, this was A.D. 70. Well, I don't know about you. The destruction of Jerusalem under Titus was pretty bad. But listen, what's coming is worse.
Right.
So you can't say what happened in A.D. 70 falls under this category. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be. No, it can't be that. This is speaking of something different. This is speaking of something worse. This is speaking of something I believe coming in the future. And so there's another destruction coming of Jerusalem. Well, Israel has control of it now, somewhat, right? We believe another temple is going to be built, and it's going to be destroyed again. Yeah. He said, except those days be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. Right? See, Israel here, they're still looking for Messiah. They're still trying to usher in the Messiah. They're still looking for him. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Yeah. So there's going to be coming those that do some incredible signs and wonders. You know who's gonna swallow that up? Well, the ones who are swallowing it up today. Yeah. He said, behold, I have told you before, he's going to repeat this. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chamber, believe it not. Yeah. Why? These are false messiahs. How do you know they're a false messiah? Because they always want to be in secret. They always want you to come to them in some secret place. Remember, Jesus was out in the open. He taught the multitudes. The Pharisees were there. The Sadducees were there. The regular people were there. Hey, he just taught right out in the open. Even when they came and got him, they said, what do you do? I mean, you could have got me at any time. I was in the temple daily. You don't have to come with swords and staves and this big entourage to come get me. It's like I've not been hiding from you. Well, this is what false Christs do. They hide. Well, you say, well, they're out in the open. How do they hide? Hey, get on a website of the average church and try to find out what they believe.
Yeah.
Find their statement of faith. Ours is huge. It's long. Did you read it before you all came? There's a lot there, isn't there? You get on the average church out here that is not a church, you won't find what they believe. Why? They like to hide. Yeah. No, you do. You get away from those people. They like to subvert. They like to come in underground. They like to draw in, right? Oh, you know, doctrine divides. Doctrine divides. We just all want to be one. Well, yeah, doctrine divides. Truth divides. Duh. It's supposed to. Right. Yeah. False messiahs. Jesus is telling them, he's warning them about the destruction of the temple, the destruction of Jerusalem. Yeah. And so here, verses 15 through 28 answers the question of the destruction of the temple. It hasn't happened yet. Right? This can't be talking about AD 70, I don't believe. Although they got to see, I mean, in 40 years after this time, Israel got to see got to see a fulfillment. I mean, they got to see the destruction of the temple, which they thought was totally impossible. But boy, there's another one coming. Yeah. Now notice this. I want you to show this. Again, so what do we have here? Again, we have signs that aren't signs. They want to know when the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is. What's he give them? He gives them a bunch of signs of what the world is going to look like, which it has looked like ever since the beginning of time. And especially since the beginning of in their day that Jesus gave this. They're looking for signs of the coming destruction of the temple. And Jesus is giving them, he gave them a bunch of signs, right? But this isn't, hey, listen, we don't look at this for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice this here. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Hold on a minute. What was the sign of that? There is none. You say, well, I thought these were all signs. Well, they're all signs, but they're not the sign. What is the point of this? What is Jesus saying? He says, when I come, the end of the world, oh no, there are going to be some evidences that we're getting to the end. There are going to be some things that, right, it's going to, you can tell when the fig tree, we might not get to this tonight, but when the fig tree, puts forth its leaves, Jesus says, you know that summer is nigh. No, there's some signs that are obviously that we can see that, yeah, things may be getting close. Obviously, we're 2,000 years closer than we were, right? That's just an obvious thing. But what is the sign of his coming? There is no sign. What does that mean? It's imminent. Look what he says here. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. You will not know when he comes. It'll be that fast. Driving home the other night, was it last night or the night before, whenever it was, and boom, lightning came across, and two of them at once, you know, there was no sign of that. Right? There wasn't like a little, a little something out in the sky that gave you a couple warnings. Three flashes means it's whatever's going to happen. And some side by side, birds started chirping a certain way. Oh, lightning's coming. Bing! No, there's no sign. It just, bam, it happens. And you go, whoa, right? Yeah, especially when it gets really close. Yeah. So yeah, what do we have here? We have all of these signs that aren't signs. What is he saying? That in any generation, hold on, don't get your focus on the, quote, signs. Live your life knowing that he could come at any time. Amen. Well, how do you know he means that? Okay, you asked. We're going to be here a little while. I heard you ask. I heard it. I want you to go over here a few verses. Look at verse 36. But of the day of the hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only. Now watch this. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. Nothing wrong with those things. I've heard some very creative preaching on eating and drinking and marrying. It's all they're out there doing is eating and drinking and marrying. Well, yeah. That's what people do. You got to eat. You got to have something to drink. And God said, be fruitful and multiply and get married, right? This isn't negative, right? What is Jesus illustrating here once again? That when the flood came, they weren't looking for it. I mean, they had some evidence, this huge boat, right? That made no sense to them, that they just kind of, well, that's stupid. What does the world have today that they think is stupid? Well, they have the preaching of the cross. They have the ark, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we preach constantly. They have church buildings all over the place that they say, well, I don't know why they do that type of stuff, right? But no, they had this ark here that they were looking at. But what was going on in the days of Noah was just everyday, ordinary life. What were the signs? Eating, drinking, and giving in marriage. Were they signs? No, they weren't signs. It was just life. Let me tell you something. When that door shut, whoosh, lightning. Yeah. I mean, it was over. They were done. They may have pounded on that door. It was done. They may have been screaming up. It was done that quickly. And from what we understand from Genesis, we don't know. We don't know how God told Noah, okay, it's time. Right? I mean, we know he did, obviously. Start getting the animals in. They should have known it was getting closer. Well, that is weird. What's going on? Animals are coming in. Right? Israel's going back into the land. This is weird. What's that mean? Oh, there's signs, right? There's some things. But that's not what we live by. Watch this. For as in the days of Noah, look at verse 39, and knew not until the flood came, and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. What's it going to be? You know what life on this planet's going to be like when Jesus comes? No. It's going to be just like any other day. Yeah. When the catching away of the saints, you know what people are going to be doing? Going to work. Sitting at the restaurant. Right? Figuring out their wedding plans. Writing out invitations, hoping to get a lot of money. Pay for this honeymoon they couldn't afford. Right? Stuff like that. You know, just regular life. And it's going to be over. No, there's evidences and signs, right, that we're preaching and we're trying to warn and we're trying to tell that they're rejecting. But when it comes, they're not going to see it. Look at this. Two should be in the field, one should be taken, the other left. Two women should be grinding at the mill, the one should be taken, the other left. Watch therefore. What is that word watch there? It is watching as if you are expecting somebody to return. How many were given chores as a young person? Jack. It still bothers them. It's still a weight. Yeah. Still a chore, isn't it? Yeah. And you may have heard these words. When I get home, you better have this done. Yeah. Anybody ever heard those words? They might not have been, they might have been nicer. They might have been, hey. Now, I didn't live in that world, but you may have. And like, hey, sweetie. Now, Dad's going to be home at 5, so will you watch that watch? Make sure you're done, buddy. Yeah. I didn't know that tone of voice. I didn't grow up with that. And you probably didn't either. So, watching. So what'd you do all day? You goofed it off as long as you could. Looking over your shoulder. Right? What should you have been doing? You should look what he said. Watch therefore, for you know what hour your Lord doth come. Watch with expectation. Watch. Watch, right? In a process of doing what you were told to do. Busy. Accomplishing what you've been given to do. You see the overall gist of Matthew 24? It's not the signs, because the signs aren't the signs. Over and over, you see, the signs aren't the signs. Right? How do you know that? Because it says that when the Son of Man comes, he's going to come like lightning. There's not going to be a sign for his coming. It's just going to happen. No, there's going to be things that are going to look like it that you're going to miss. But the overall truth of chapter 24, I think that we really need to get down apart from digging as deep as we can. Because I'm going to tell you, there's some things here that we are not going to quite grasp. Look at verse 30, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. What on earth is that? I don't know. Neither do you, and neither does anybody. The people that see that, whatever it's going to be in the heaven, they'll know, but I don't know what that is. The Bible doesn't tell us. Yeah. See, the overall point of Matthew 24 is don't get weighed down with the signs. Right? Because they're not really the signs. Watch. Order your life under the fact that he could come back at any time. And be busy doing what he's told you to do. What has he told you to do? Go out in all the world and preach the gospel. Right? Compel them to go out the highways and the hedges. Compel them to come in, that my house may be full. This is what he's told us to do. Look what he says. But here's where he proves it, right? Look at verse 43. But know this, that if the good men of the house had known what watch the thief would have come, he would have watched and would have not suffered the house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. There it is. There's no sign. Right? Here's all these signs. And they're in every generation that has been since Jesus. And they're in our generation. So the sign's not the sign. Right? You said, but there's signs. Well, yeah, they are, but they're not. Because listen, I really hope I'm getting this across. They've been going on since Jesus. Yep. Right? Look at this. Verse 45. Verse 44. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour you think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant? Servant, you see that? Whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he come, shall find so doing. What is the point that Jesus is getting across? Here, I'll give you signs. You're going to see him in every generation. Nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, love or hatred and war and violence and earthquakes and tumultuous times and pestilences and famines and all of these things. What is the sign? Is that the world is broken, and as Paul said, the entire world is travaileth and groaneth together, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus. This is your sign. What does it mean? Well, at any time, Jesus could come. So what do you do? What do you do as a good servant? Right? What do you do as a good servant? Well, you watch and you wait and you work. You work and labor, doing what he has told you to do. Well, I want a sign. Well, you have it, which means it could happen at any time. Watch, if you're living in the signs, which we are, right? If you're living in the signs, then he could come. What about in 50 years? Well, in 50 years, if they're living in the signs, then he could come. It's not that hard, right? So we're living in the signs, which means this. He could come right now. He could come tomorrow. He could come next week. Yeah. The bigger thing that we need to grab hold of is to make sure that we are a faithful and a wise servant, busy about what our master gave us to do. Yeah. Have you ever taken time to think about how awful it would be if the Lord returned when you weren't busy doing what you ought to be doing? Yeah. You ever thought it'd be awful? Have you ever wondered how awful it would be if the Lord returned and you were doing something? Not that you just weren't busy, but boy, you were doing, it was just flat out sin. Yeah. Yeah, that'd be pretty rough, wouldn't it? Yeah. You ever think about how bad it would be? I wonder about those. Right? They're looking at the signs. The signs are everywhere. What's it mean? He could come right now. He could come right now. And our churches are empty. Churches in disobedience all over the place. No, it's just flat out disobedience. I'm not talking about sickness. You know that. I'm not talking about people that have ailments and problems. You know that. I'm talking about those that just, hey, you know, they're idolaters. They're going to live their own life. They're going to determine how they obey God. And when they obey God, and what an awful thought to think that when he came back, you weren't where you ought to be. One of the easiest things to do as a child of God of obedience is just to assemble, right? I mean, that's like 101, right? That's an easy thing. I mean, it's not anymore for some people, but it is. Yeah. Yeah. Jesus said to occupy till I come. What's that mean? Watch and wait. Watch and wait. You know what I pray that God would help us to do? I pray the Lord would help us just to continue to be faithful servants, watching for his coming, knowing it could happen at any time, knowing it could happen at any moment, and when it does, it is going to be so quick, and we're going to be gone. We're not going to have a chance to go, oh, hold on, let me finish. Wait, I'm almost done. I'm almost done. Nope. Gone. Absolutely. May God help us tonight to watch and wait and to labor and to be busy about our Father's business and be busy about the work that needs to be done. You know, people need the gospel out there. There are people that are still going to be saved. He hasn't come back yet. What's it mean? The people are still getting saved. He said the gospel is going to be preached into all the world. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world. He said, then I'll come. You say, well, it probably has. No. I'm not talking about Romanism and Protestantism that's been preached everywhere. The gospel still needs to be preached everywhere. Do you know how many people that still have not received a clear presentation of the gospel in our own nation, in our own town? You can ask them. You go on visitation, you can ask them. Has anybody ever told you what the gospel is? Huh? I don't know. Yeah. Still work to be done. Amen. Amen. Let me encourage you tonight. He's coming. He's coming. Let's stay busy. Let's be busy doing what we've been told to do, and if we're seeing signs, all sorts of signs, right? The signs mean that he could come at any time. And so let's be busy. Father, would you help us tonight? Thank you for your word tonight. And Lord, I thank you for those that are here that are just faithful to you. Lord, what a joy it is to see the consistency and the stability of those that just have a walk with you and love you. And their faithfulness is so evident. And Lord, would you help us? Help us not to get weary in well-doing. We can look at the world around us, our nation that's crumbling. It's mind-blowing that I would ever thought our nation would be where it is today, and yet it is. And Lord, there's still the gospel that needs to be preached. Would you help us not to get weary in well-doing? Would you help us to continue on and to occupy and to watch and to wait as a faithful servant, as faithful servants, knowing that at any time our Lord doth come. And even so, come Lord Jesus. We thank you in his name, amen. Why don't we stand tonight? I don't know how the Lord has spoken to you. Are you busy? Are you busy where God has told you to be busy? Are you doing what God has told you to do? Are you occupying till he comes? Are you fulfilling what God has given you to do? Right. Let's make sure we're busy. Let's make sure we're living such expectation that we're watching every day. Every day. He might come today. Right. You know, for some people, when they say, he might come today, that means they are just kind of like take their bed of ease and they're just gonna lay back and, well, he's coming. Well, it could be today. It could be today. I just don't think I'll go to work today. It'll be today. I mean, no, that's not what he means by that. Yeah. When we say it could be today, it means, well, we better get busy. We better get busy. All right. Well, good to see. Good to have that everybody's able to make.